News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
40, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at just about 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. Getting some texts from y'all at 251-343-0106 and all eyes to the east. And keeping an eye on Helene. Landfall later on this evening, I believe, is what we're talking about right now.
That's right. It seems like they're always at night, right? When was the last time? And it might have been recent. I might just be overlooking it. But it seems like most of these big hurricanes come through overnight.
And this is a big one.
Yeah, this is a massive one. Could be a Category 4 by the time it makes landfall. That would be a worst-case scenario, of course. I think Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has done, you know, now that his hopes of being president come 2025 have been dashed, and not that he wasn't a good governor before, but he's done a really good job, especially these last couple of weeks, as far as this storm moving through and put the state of emergency. I've been seeing him all over the place, getting people ready for this storm. Here's part of what DeSantis had to say.
You're going to have both wind and water hazards from this storm. Here in the Tallahassee region in the Big Bend, almost every run and model agrees that, this storm, the eye of the storm, is coming in this region.
It was DeSantis there, and of course a lot of evacuees leaving that area. And that projection they put on it about 3 days ago, it's stayed fairly true to that.
It has, and which doesn't always happen. It's not at land yet, but you're right, it hasn't. And also, people are going to be evacuating from areas well north of the coast because you're going to have hurricane effects, hurricane in places like Valdosta, Georgia. That's not, I mean, that's got to be an hour from the coastline, I would think. Easily.
Yeah. Lisa texted earlier when I mentioned my brother is in Valdosta with his wife. They are going to Montgomery, I hope. We'll see how traffic works out there. But she said, my brother's home burned down last October, and they rebuilt. He and his family just moved into their new home on Sunday, and they live in Cairo, Georgia, right in the middle of the path.
So, yeah, Cairo, spelled like Cairo, the Egyptian capital, but it's said by the locals to Cairo. That's right there, too. Cairo, Valdosta, some of the areas where Jimmy Carter's from, Plains and all that, Albany.
And while Atlanta may not catch and won't catch the same strength of the storm that areas south of it will, it's a lot of money, a lot of infrastructure in Atlanta. And if it's still at tropical storm levels up there and in the Atlanta suburbs, yeah, it could do a lot of damage.
Braves have got a big end of the season, and they've got two games left. They got to play the Mets. Turns out they're going to try to do that a doubleheader on
Monday. Yeah, after the regular season ended. So a lot of people making alternative plans. Dr. Bill, he had the latest for us just a few minutes ago for Hurricane Helene.
Well, Helene is now a hurricane, and it is over the southeastern Gulf of Mexico. It went through the Yucatan Channel yesterday, and it now is moving in a north-northeast direction at about 12 miles per hour. The highest winds are now at 90 miles per hour, but it is going to intensify today. It's got a long ways to go across the eastern Gulf of Mexico and is expected to become a major hurricane with winds of 115, perhaps as high as 120 miles per hour. The likely target right now is the eastern Florida panhandle, and particularly Apalachee Bay, which is a bay just south of Tallahassee. Because of the shape of that bay and the coastal area, they will likely get a storm surge of 15 to possibly 20 feet. And that storm surge will be huge for some distance eastward and southeastward all along the Florida Panhandle and the peninsula all the way down to Tampa can expect a very large storm surge. But Apalachee Bay is the target right now, and that will be this evening and tonight that it will arrive on the coast. It will continue as a hurricane into the Tallahassee area. It looks like the center will go right over Tallahassee and still be a strong hurricane. by tomorrow morning. It'll be over southwest Georgia and still a hurricane. And it will then continue up the western side of Georgia. And during the afternoon hours, we'll move pretty close to Atlanta as a strong tropical storm. And it now four of the hurricane will actually persist all the way up to Atlanta.
Wow.
And so the impact will be very, very significant across Georgia. And then late Friday and into Saturday, it will be in Tennessee and western Kentucky, where it will sort of make a loop and merge in with an upper air low pressure system that is up in that area. The eastern side of that storm is very, very large. And as a result, we can expect strong winds to occur over eastern Georgia, much of the northern Florida peninsula. And there may be quite a few tornadoes to the eastern side of the storm that will occur in Florida, Georgia, and maybe even into South Carolina.
Dr. Bill, with his synopsis on where the storm is now, what it's going to do, that was from earlier this morning on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, I think the storm surge, you know, of course the winds are going to be ridiculous if it's a Cat 4 levels, but that's storm surge.
That's
went a little more in depth with him on that, but 15 to 20 feet possible.
You almost don't want to think about it, right? Like, what could it do? When you showed me that picture of Mexico Beach, that was Michael, right? And that was
15-foot storm surge there.
15-foot storm surge, and it just looked like it wiped out
pretty much everything on the beach there. And
it was like one house standing. Wasn't it strange? Mm-hmm. That one, I guess it was fortified. It was a big on stilts, and it was still standing. But
built well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Built
and
very well.
The saving grace there, I guess, where the projected landfall is, Dr. Bill said there's not as much. Not as many communities or big communities in that spot. So we'll see, Dr. Bill. We will keep you updated on everything throughout the day, and then tomorrow morning we'll have all of that for you. So stay tuned here to FM Talk 106.5.
The other big story that broke yesterday, Sandy Stimson announcing that he is not going to seek re-election to a fourth term as mayor of Mobile in the 2025 municipal elections. He released a video, and here's part of that.
For the past 11 years, I've had a privilege beyond imagination, and that has been part of the transformation of the city of Mobile. Through the years, I believe God has answered countless prayers by blessing our city as things were accomplished that few thought were possible, turning vision and hope into reality.
There you go, Sandy Stimson from yesterday.
Beautiful music, beautiful video.
Yeah. I mean, he should have released it like an animated video, where it's kind of a cartoon, Sandy Stimson, and like Lion King setting, maybe up on the overlook, and there'd be a monkey on his shoulder. He's announcing that he's not running. But anyway, I didn't see much of the video. That is audio from the video.
I know people, of course, when you're talking about a political figure, everyone has strong opinions and feelings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
usually, yeah.
And there have been some moments, you know, some things that, you know, I've disagreed with the Stimson administration on. I think overall, his tenure as mayor has been great. And I know some people have some issues with crime, and a lot of people are upset that because the mayor said he was going to make Mobile the safest city, in America? Was that the promise?
Mm-hmm.
Which, it's a good goal. I don't know if it was technically possible, you know, when he made that. But people took him, I guess, explicitly at his word there. So some folks upset about the crime we've seen, and in different parts of the city, maybe they're not so happy about the blight. But when you look at the economic growth, the different major businesses that have come in,
industry,
the jobs that have been created for a lot of folks in our area, and the different fun recreational activities that have come in since he's been mayor, overall, I think it's been a success.
Yeah, I mean, certainly when you look at it, it appeared it wasn't like time wasted, like a mayor that you're like, well, where's he at? What's going on? There were times in the past certain mayors would kind of disappear from the scene, and you're like, who's in charge? Mm-hmm. What's going on here? Biden like. You
yes.
know?
Ivy but, like.
Ivy like. We're going to get suspended. You watch it. So in any event, and turning the page, and now the question is, who's next?
It is. That is the question. Maybe some of those folks who might be interested commented in this John Sharp story with AL.com. He talked with some other figures from around the state and got some commentary on how they feel about Mayor Sandy Stimson. Governor Ivy called him a dear friend and a partner on major projects. Of course, the I-10 Mobile River Bridge and Bayway. She said, from our investment in the Port of Mobile to pressing forward with the Mobile River with the Mobile River Bridge and Bayway project together with Mayor Stimson, we are taking giant steps that will benefit this entire state and region for generations to come. She said, Mobile was once her home and will always hold a special place in my heart, so I'm speaking as more than a governor when I say how proud I am of the tremendous progress the city has made over the last decades thanks to Mayor Stimson's leadership. Sharp with AL.com also spoke with some other mayors. The main word that most of them use here is mentor. It seems like, you know, he's wise. It seems mm-hmm. he's wise. He's mm-hmm. been mayor for a long time. He provided some assistance through mentorship to some of these mayors. Walt Maddox said he was a mentor and dear friend.
Tuscaloosa.
And that Stimson, that's right, Tuscaloosa, and that Stimson was instrumental in assembling a coalition of the Big Ten mayors. And, you know, they do carry pretty big weight whenever they come out with a coordinated
recommendation
press release. Yeah. He said, I'm going to miss leaning on him for advice, whether it's for work or just life. Talking with Sandy, it takes only a few seconds to realize he has poured his heart and soul into Mobile. Woodfin, who's facing some drama right now, the Birmingham mayor, Randall Woodfin, called Stimson invaluable to the mayors of Alabama's largest cities. Huntsville Mayor Tommy Battle, Decatur Mayor Tab Bowling, called him effective and a quality leader in the state. And it goes on and on. Congressman Carl, what he had to say, thanks to Mayor Stimson's vision, dedication, and hard work, Mobile's in excellent financial shape and is continuing to attract new growth and business opportunities. His leadership will be missed by so many Mobilians, and he has big shoes to fill. I also wanted to get to the comments from Sam Jones, who once, of course, took on Stimson. Mm-hmm. He said he wasn't sure why Stimson was retiring, but could understand if he wanted to spend more time with his family. Of course, they had two battles for mayor. Jones said, it's a really time-consuming job that you're working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can't take vacations like people who work eight-hour days. He's done three terms, and I can understand that he would want to spend time with his grandchildren. He believes, this is where some of this political gamesmanship comes in here, he believes Stimson inherited a strong economy and argues that the city was in an improving financial position by 2014. Jones also said that Stimson's now famous One Mobile slogan was more of a campaign message than actual reality in bringing the city together in an era of sharply divided politics nationally. But he added, I think overall he came out pretty well. So some commentary there from some other political figures around the state.
Also this, Lawrence Batiste, former Mobile police chief and executive director of public safety, is considering all possibilities to better serve the community. Hours after Mayor Sandy Stimson announced he would not run for re-election, Batiste, who was sworn in as MPD chief back in April of 2017 and was later promoted to executive director of public safety under Stimson in 2021, wrote in a text message Wednesday that he was surprised by his former boss's announcement. When asked to further clarify, he was wondering, he says, basically, I love this city and I'm exploring the possibilities to better serve this community. But he said he's weighing all possibilities. So maybe that means his hat will soon be in the ring.
And as far as hats going into the ring, we've had listeners since this announcement yesterday throwing out names. Mm-hmm. And really, names have been flying for some time now. So when we come back, before we talk with Rob, who do you want? Not who do you think, but who do you want to see run for mayor of Mobile? I have a list of some recommendations I can throw out there.
Yeah, we've put our little heads together. It is 8:21 with Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Thank you not just for listening today, but every weekday. Appreciate that a lot. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 8:25. We're talking about the storm, Helene, and it's still on course for where we thought it was going earlier this week. And it is also on course to continue to grow, possibly a Category 4 before it gets to the shores. And then to think it's going to continue to be a hurricane. Mm-hmm. all the way into the state of Georgia and do all kinds of damage on the way, all the way up to Atlanta, and then dump a lot of rain on Kentucky and Tennessee.
Yeah, and eastern side of Alabama all the way up the state could see, will see more effect from this than the western side, of course, but I'm hoping we don't see any shift in the track west after it makes landfall there.
Right.
So we're talking about Mayor Sandy Stimson, and he announced yesterday that he would not be running for re-election next year. I asked on the text line who you would like to see run. Just some names I'll throw out there real quick for you here. Some names I just came up with off the top of my head earlier today. What are our thoughts on Jim Ziegler? Zig to run?
Zig likes to run.
Stephen Nodine? Mike Dow?
Well, the door's cracked open for Stephen Nodine.
How about Don Siegelman? Come back home?
Yeah, he's Murphy grad?
Murphy grad, I think. Okay. Yeah. Why not Kay Ivey? If she doesn't run for governor again, we'll bring Kay Ivey. But some serious names that have been tossed around there. I know Bradley Burns, first name out of a lot of folks' mouth. Jerry Carl, now that he won't be a sitting congressman as we move forward.
Hmm.
While we speak of former Congressman Joe Bonner, he's here already, but he's making a pretty nice salary there at South Alabama, so this would be a drop in the salary there. And then, of course, James Barber, Lawrence Batiste, you already said, threw his name in. When we talk about city council, William Carroll's name seems to come up a lot. Sam Cochran, possibly, the former sheriff. So let's see what the text line has to say here.
Ty Bullard, Joe Bullard's son.
Okay.
He's now running the dealerships. He's famously known for being on those commercials.
That's right.
Talking about the dealership.
Tim from Foley says we need a woman, Gina Gregory, perhaps, but definitely someone who will not line their pockets or cause any scandals. Are you saying women don't cause any scandals or line their pockets? Paul Lewis says, we'll get to Paul's here in a little bit once it comes up here. Ed says, I think Jerry Carl would do a great job. Maximus, I'd like to see Jim Barber run for mayor. Fire Dog, how about this? Ricky for mayor, says Fire Dog.
Okay.
Think of the entertainment value, is what Fire Dog says.
Think about the amount of time it would take for him. Do mayors get impeached? we'd be lining that within 3 weeks of his administration's beginning.
There's one pretty well-known mayor that just got indicted. Up in New York City. This texter says, class representative for our city on any stage, speaking about Mayor Stimson. Rock and Roll Doctor says growth in Mobile. If I'm not mistaken, the population of Mobile has only increased due to annexation. Otherwise, Mobile would have a negative 5% population growth. Yeah, there has been a lot of folks leaving Mobile and going to Baldwin County. But when I say growth, I'm thinking more economic growth, more jobs coming in, even though a lot of the folks that work in those jobs come from Baldwin County and elsewhere. A lot that come from Mississippi. And just growth in some of the, of course, we'll always talk about Gulf Quest, right? But that was way back. But you look at the Civic Center project that's underway here.
Going to happen.
Some of the other massive projects that are underway.
More people living downtown.
That's right.
More people feel safe downtown, even though it still will have its moments.
Rock and Roll Doctor also says Bradley Byrne lives in Fairhope. Joe Bonner lives in Montrose. Mark in West Mobile says,
Hey, Joe Bonner's got there's an actual president of South Alabama's home right off of Old Shell Road in between McGregor and the university itself.
That's where he is.
Well, he probably lives both, but he does have a home here in Mobile.
Mark says,
I've been there, Can I name drop?
I think we talked about that one time.
We did, yeah.
Paul Prine is what Mark in West Mobile says. This texter says Dan Brennan.
Who says that?
Well, they say, said bring Colby Cooper back. That's a name that we haven't heard yet. And no BS leader then says Dan Brennan. And then says, no, sorry, he's a Georgia fan. So he put you in the running and took you out.
all in the same run-on sentence. Hey, I like the heck out of Colby Cooper. Always did. Some people, they might have rubbed the wrong way because he was a little aggressive, but he got stuff done.
Will Carlos Finley maybe give it another run?
Maybe. That's
what about possible. Fred Richardson? Has he given up on the hopes of becoming mayor?
Remember, he was going to become our political analyst, and that all fell through. It is 8:30 with Dan and Dalton. Good morning. morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 835. Mowbray Mornings. Good to have you along. Let's see what's going on with Rob Holbert from Lanyap Mobile. Did you have a birthday here recently, Rob?
I did.
All right.
Tuesday, the lamest day of the week to have a birthday.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
That's no good.
That's a rough day
to have a birthday. Not really having much fun on Tuesday.
Well, you know, take it from your old buddy Dan. Power through and have a big time anyway.
That's what I did. I did the best I could.
The day ends in Y, go for it.
Yeah, and that's right. Even not on your birthday sometimes. So,
starting rumors.
Happy birthday. I want to, here in a little bit, get to the cover story, which I absolutely enjoyed reading through yesterday. But first, I guess we need to get to the big news from yesterday, and that is that Mayor Sandy Stimson officially announces he is not running for re-election next year. And we've kind of been just...
Did you hear? Yeah, just in.
And so we've been batting some names around for fun. Some are serious about who they want to see run for mayor next year. But your thoughts on his announcement yesterday, and I guess the overall tenure of Stimson as mayor of Mobile?
Well... I mean, I think he decided this based on just it's just time. It's not I know there's some theories out there that he's sick or he's whatever and all these other things. He just said it's really time for him to spend time with his family and that kind of thing. So I think that's those things can be put to rest from what I gather. I've said it a million times, but you know, every politician has an expiration date. Things change. It's time. Everything has to end eventually. And, I think it's a good time for him to get out of it if he's not ready to do four more years of it. I mean, as he said, he'd be 77 years old by the time he finished another term. And, you know, he wants to do some other things. So, you look at it, I think by any measure, it's been a very successful mayorship. I mean, he's done a lot of stuff. The city is in phenomenally better shape than it was when he took over. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's not really arguable. I know there's some, I'm sure that there are some people who are excited that he's leaving because, when you're in politics, when you're in charge, you make enemies eventually. And he's got some people who don't like him. But by and large, mostly what I've heard is people ready to jump out the window because he is leaving. You know, it's like the city's going to go to hell, and what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. And woe is us. But I think he's done a great job overall. It's been a tremendous and very successful period for the city. And from a personal standpoint, dealing with his administration, they've always been open and honest about things with us. And, even when they've had trouble, even when there's, issues that they maybe didn't want to talk about, they talk about it. So that I have to commend them on that. As a reporter, it's a rare thing because the gut instinct for most people is to ball up and not talk to you and to get angry and that kind of thing. They've never done that.
Yeah. Well, little shout out to Governor Ivey, but,
shout out to Governor Ivey. Yeah.
How does the city not go to hell? And then I know you were just kind of throwing that out there. It's not necessarily Stimson's gone equals city goes to hell. Well, that's not necessarily going to be the case, but.
Let's hope not.
Right, right. So what happens now?
Well, I mean, there's certainly a lot of great stuff that's teed up for whoever's next. There's some big shoes to fill. Who is going to be next? I think there's going to be several folks who are interested in it. Some people who have who've run in the past or expressed interest in the past, and maybe some new folks who haven't. Everybody says Connie Hudson's going to run. I don't know that she will or won't, but certainly she would be somebody who's at the top of the list of people that might run. I think I've heard, would Joel Daves run? He was not planning to run for re-election. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that means he had an inkling this was going to happen and decided he was going to focus his attention elsewhere, or if he was just saying, I'm done with this. So that, I don't know that. You have Lawrence Batiste, people talking about that. Even Steve Nodine, I've heard that.
Yeah, you heard that on this station.
I've heard it from him. There's a lot. I would imagine you'll see, some of the people who've run in the past that might want to take a whack at it. I don't know if, William Carroll has, ever since I've known him, he's talked about running for mayor. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he will or won't. He talks about it, but, whether that's a possibility or not, I don't know. I think you're going to have a busy, time figuring it out. There's going to be some folks who want to run.
It could be a pretty big pool of candidates once it gets down to it. I mean, we had three in this last election, and that was with Stimson running for re-election. So I guess we'll see how it goes. When we talk national politics, which we do so often on the station, and there's so much contempt for national leaders, and certainly a lot of that is due, but you have people that believe sometimes that elected politicians truly are in it for themselves, and that even some folks say that they want to see America burn. And I think some people keep that same contempt for local leaders, and sometimes that's due, depending on what the city you're in. But for Stimson, it seems he's a guy who I think really wanted to see Mobile succeed, and it can't be easy for a city that you love to have so many people dislike you for one reason or the other. For him to stick around as long as he did, I think that's a pretty good success in itself. I know I wouldn't want to feel that hate all the time from some people in the city.
Yeah, it's a tough thing. I can tell you my feelings. In my dealings with him, I've never felt anything other than he was trying to accomplish the job that he was elected to do.
Yeah, he wasn't in it for him. He was not in it for him, right?
I've never felt that
way.
I mean, I've never felt that there was anything there other than trying to do his job.
Yeah.
Did it make everybody happy all the time? Not always. You break some eggs when you're making omelets. It happens. And not every decision was perfect. I mean, none of us are. You can't expect that. There are some people who are angry, and there's certainly some haters out there. I hear from them frequently. Mm-hmm. But it's, when you look at certainly compared to the administration prior to that, I would say that this has just been a huge 180 for the city. I mean, we are financially in great shape. There's a number of things that are coming in that are being done, that are underway, that are maybe if they're not transformative, they're at least really very helpful to the future of the city. So I think there's a lot of good stuff, and I think overall his administration will be remembered very fondly by people.
Rob, to move on to another subject, and of course you guys do some great investigative journalism on current politics and things going on around the state and in our area, but your cover story this week, I read all the way through it, Kyle Hamrick wrote it yesterday, and I learned so many new things, and it's about the Dolly Parton Bridge, but its real name, of course, General W.K. Wilson Jr. Bridge, and, I'm embarrassed sometimes to say I didn't know all this about the general, and I don't think most people actually did, and Hamrick does this deep dive. If it weren't for him, the bridge that's named after him could very well have been 50 feet high rather than the height that is. He was worried about moving through those shipping channels and the continued growth of South Alabama, but that's just a small part of his really interesting life that Hamrick dove into here.
Yeah, he had a really amazing career, and this is a story Ashley's been talking about doing this story for years, and if I finally Kyle did it. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, we were not able to get Dolly Parton to comment, Kyle did a great job of going back and looking up. And I didn't know all those things about General Wilson either. I mean, he had a really amazing career and did a lot of stuff for the community. Unfortunately for him, he decided these two huge arches would go on top of that bridge, and it immediately took on a different name than, you know, what it was intended. People wanted to honor him, and it is, I think he's, you know, unfortunately for him, his legacy is up against another legacy, and I don't think it's ever going to change, or at least not anytime soon. Maybe mm-hmm. when people forget who, maybe one day people will forget who Dolly Parton is. But
it's been a long
time.
Talked to Dolly Parton, I don't know, 8 years ago maybe, in my past life. And we mentioned the Dolly Parton Bridge, and she got a big kick out of that and said she was aware of it, and evidently there are other bridges that look similar in mm-hmm. other parts of the country.
And people call them and that. They call well.
It, right, the Dolly. So our bridge is one of the several Dolly Parton bridges, she informed us live on the air.
I didn't know that. I suspected that was probably the case. But, you know, I didn't know that for sure.
Yep.
You know, but it is... Yeah, as far as we could tell, we couldn't find the origin of the name, you know, of mm-hmm. the nickname. But it's been going on for a long time, and you know, so even when the bridge was dedicated, people called it something else at first. Nobody ever called it the W.K. Wilson Bridge, and it just, you know, then it became commonly known as the Dolly Parton Bridge. I mean, it's to the point where, you know, when you watch a newscast and there's a wreck and they're like, there's a wreck on the Dolly Parton Bridge. I mean, it's gotten to be that well known.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you said there's a wreck on the W.K. Wilson Bridge, most people would be like, I don't know where that is.
What
is that?
Or if it's some new young newscaster, you'd say, they don't even know this area. Why would they call it that?
Yeah.
But his military career, and one thing I found fascinating, his military career just took him everywhere. And he was in a couple different, wars. He was a military man. And then when he starts working for the Corps of Engineers, and then he ends up moving to Minnesota and then moved all around the world, he ended up settling in Mobile. He decided he wanted to be here over all of these other mm-hmm. places. And I think that's just amazing. And then after the Kennedy assassination, he was tasked with putting his resting place, like kind of building that.
The eternal flame.
The eternal flame there at Arlington.
That
wow.
story was fascinating. You know, that apparently that Jackie Kennedy wanted the flame to change colors. And Wilson said, no, you're getting one color. That's it.
She asked that the day before, right? Something like that.
Something like that, yeah. It was a very short time, but he apparently was the person behind the eternal flame at John F. Kennedy's grave, you know. So it's a fascinating story, and it's really like, you know, if he just had the foresight to square the top of that thing off, it would be okay.
I got a text here that says, I was around when that bridge was new and Dolly Parton was in her prime, well known for her well you know what's. I never heard the bridge called Dolly Parton Bridge until about 15 years ago or so. I would disagree with that because I moved to town in 1995 and people were calling it the Dolly Parton Bridge. Mm-hmm. That was a long
time. Yeah, Kyle found references to it as far back as 1990.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
It's been at least, you know, 30, almost, you know, getting close to 35 years now. So
right.
At least that time frame.
Yeah, and I recommend people to pick up this issue. This would be a good one to just keep on the coffee table, you know, for folks who come by to read this amazing story. And there's plenty more in this issue as well. And in your Damn the Torpedoes, some great stuff there on this battle between Ivy and whistleblowers.
Yeah, he's got VA. An interesting opinion on the VA and the governor, and that's worth reading itself.
Yeah, so folks want to pick up the latest issue on stands, Rob, or better yet, sign up online like we've done here at FM Talk. How can they do that?
Of course, there's purple boxes everywhere. You can pick the papers up there. Go online at lanyapmobile.com. We're doing about 65 articles a week on at Lanyap Daily. It is a daily newspaper online. You know, when people say we need a daily paper in town, we have one. It's online at lanyapmobile.com. It's $1 for the first month, $6.50 a month after that. And we can take PayPal now. We're that should be operational today.
All right.
But you know, so and there's a dollar little pass there, so a day pass that mm-hmm. you can do for $1, and you don't have to be committed if you're commitment phobic. So there's different ways to do it. It helps us keep going and doing this work.
All right, well, keep it up, Rob. Appreciate it a lot. Thanks for joining us again on this Thursday. Happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you. I've had quite a few. We'll see how many more I get.
Rob Holbert, Lanyat, lanyatmobile.com, and we're coming back to wrap up Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. Let you know who's coming up on the Jeff Poor Show and get to as many texts as we can. That's on the way right here on Mobile Mornings. For FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, this segment brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, making junk disappear. That's what they do. They've been doing it here in Mobile and Baldwin counties for over 16 years now. Trey Bennett has a fantastic crew he's assembled over that time. If you call them, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or go online and set that appointment up, they'll give you a free on-site estimate with all-inclusive pricing and no hidden fees. And whether you have them out at your business or your residence, they'll be in and out in no time. You can get on with your day. Latest Google review, 5 stars, left by Ashley just a day ago. Awesome service and responded very quick with same-day service. I live in the city of Mobile and recently did a bathroom remodel and had lots of construction debris. Also needed to clean out our shed, including a deep freezer, some Power Wheels kids riding toys. The list goes on and on here for Ashley for what she needed picked up. She said called and got a free estimate with an in-person visit, and they came back with an affordable quote. An hour later, all the stuff we needed gone was taken.
Wow.
We'll definitely be using them in the future and will refer anyone who needs quick, reliable, and affordable removal of most of the stuff you need gone. Thank you, Trey and Gant. And that is a fantastic review left by Ashley. We co-sign that here at FM Talk 106.5. So if you'd like that same kind of service, call them today to set your appointment up, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or do it online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
How about putting a chef in charge? Alec Naaman for mayor, unnamed texter says.
All right.
Ken says Memphis has a Dolly Bridge.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But I don't know. I think our Dolly Parton Bridge has maybe been mentioned in more pop culture references than others, okay. I would say. Songs and things of that nature. And I guess I'm just a homer. I don't know.
Well, so when's the Dolly Parton Bridge been mentioned in songs?
Well, you've got, of course, the Red Clay Strays and Stone's Throw. They mentioned several of them there in that article there at Lanyap.
Okay.
But it's been mentioned several times. Coming up, Jeff Poor Show, State Senator Lance Bell joins in hour number one. Hour number two, April Marie Fogle with Alabama Today. And in hour number three, former State Senator Dick Brubaker, who endorsed his former primary opponent, Caroline Dobson, just last week for AL2 and that congressional race.
You had a good idea. Hey,
Whoever loses that race
just becomes mayor.
Just slap mayor on him. Yeah. So if Dobson wins, Figures is your new mayor. Figures when Dobson is the new mayor. Rebecca says Bradley Byrne was my first thought yesterday when I heard Stimson was retiring. Let's see. Backstrap says Chief Barber would be a great mayor. Same with Sam Cochran. Yeah, Sam Cochran, I thought of that a little earlier, the former sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a pretty interesting name to keep an eye on.
Always seemed like a steady hand, right?
Maximus says Nodine would be a killer mayor. All right, Maximus. Dan, let's see. I think that's actually you texting someone else back. Squirrel Vereen. Let's see. Earlier we were talking about Secret Service. He said, I would like to go back to a rally, but I don't trust the Secret Service to keep it safe.
Is the Secret Service going to keep everybody safe at Bryant-Denny Stadium this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
I mean, I think so. How could you not when the eyes of the country and the world are on you? You have to be perfect at this point. And what's amazing to me in this report that we were talking about earlier.
That report came out. They were so imperfect, Dalton. There's no way they're going to suddenly get their stuff together.
I mean, is there a single military man or lady anywhere near the top of that leadership structure at Secret Service? How can you not, even just basic preparation for any kind of event, have a security plan, and not just a security plan, but a fallback and a fallback to that fallback and a fallback? I mean, anyone who's ever taken, has been in charge of any kind of, you know, military command and have taken people into theaters of war.
Yeah.
Can you imagine them running an operation like
so
we've
poorly.
Seen the Secret Service run? I mean, this is bureaucracy to a T, where you have people who have no idea what the hell they're doing. You add that to their complacency and their belief that everything's just going to be fine because it's been fine up until this point.
Pennsylvania seemed like the whole attitude going into that was, hey, it's going to be hot hey, man, it's going to be hot, so careful. I don't know if you want to go up on that roof.
And, you know, Secret Service snipers, counter-snipers, weren't even supposed to be there. We're fortunate that they were there to end the shooting when they did. But that building should have been covered. They should have been communicating the whole way through. Absolutely embarrassing for Secret Service.
Yeah. But Trump at Brian Denny this weekend.
I wouldn't be worried about it.
8:59, Dan and Dalton and Mobile Mornings back with you in the morning.